Greetings, and welcome to Cascade Bancorp fourth quarter and full year 2016 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Mr. Andrew Gerlicher, General Counsel and Secretary of Cascade Bancorp. Thank you, sir. You may begin.
Good afternoon and welcome to Cascade Bancorp's fourth quarter and full year 2016 earnings conference call. Our presentation today will include forward-looking statements. Those statements include descriptions of management's plans, objectives, or goals for future operations, products or services, forecast of financial or other performance measures, and statements about Cascade's general outlook for business, economic, and other conditions. Management also may make other forward-looking statements in the question and answer period following management's discussion. These forward-looking statements are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially from those discussed today. Information on the risk factors that could cause actual results to differ are contained in the press release that was released today, as well as in the risk factors section of Cascade's most recent annual report on Form 10-K filed with the SEC. Forward-looking statements are effective only as of the date they are made, and Cascade assumes no obligation to update or publish revised forward-looking statements to reflect the occurrence of unanticipated events or circumstances after the date hereof. Also, as a preliminary matter, on November 17, 2016, Cascade announced its entry into a definitive agreement to merge with and into First Interstate Bank System, Inc., for approximately $589 million in cash and stock based on the closing price of $38.30 for First Interstate's Class A common stock on November 16, 2016. First Interstate and Cascade will file a joint proxy statement prospectus with the SEC in connection with the merger, which is subject to regulatory and shareholder approvals. Cascade will not make any comments or answer any questions about the pending merger during today's call. Now let me turn today's call over to Terry Zink. Terry?
Thanks, Andy. And good afternoon. I want to thank everybody for joining the call today. Before I get started, I'd like to do a quick introduction to who's in the room with me here. You just heard from Andy Gerlicher, our General Counsel and Secretary. I also have Chip Reeves, the President and Chief Operating Officer, and Greg Newton, our Chief Financial Officer. And once again, after our prepared remarks, we will open the call to any questions you might have. Okay, well, to start, I'd like to thank all of our employees for their hard work and especially thank our customers for their support over the last four decades. Together, I think we've built a premier Pacific Northwest community bank that remains committed to the local communities we serve. To achieve this success, we took a thoughtful approach to growth, one that's centered on attracting talented bankers who could take share from our larger competitors and augment that against organic growth with strategic acquisitions. Through the successful execution of our strategy, we have grown Cascade from a $1.4 billion bank, which is where it was when I started in 2012, to a $3.1 billion bank today. As you turn to our fourth quarter and full year results, one of the things that I would tell you is that I'm very pleased with the success that we achieved this past year. The many strategic investments we've made are fueling our growth, and I think the bank is positioned for continued success through the first half of 2017. In terms of specifics, one of the things I'm most proud of is we continue to deliver double-digit revenue growth and earnings growth in the fourth quarter. Organic loan growth was 14.4% annualized for Q4, and 17.8% for the full year. Chip's going to discuss further with you that this growth was really very broad-based across all of our major markets. Deposits for the full year rose $579 million, or 28%. That was primarily due to our acquisition of the 15 B of A branches on the Oregon coast and in Washington, and Prime Pacific Bank in Seattle. Our last call, you may remember we mentioned that we had a pop in the end-of-period balances, primarily due to one large corporate customer. Those balances did get deployed, which largely explains our fourth quarter deposit decline. We expect organic deposit growth to remain at a 5-6% range in 2017. Our cost of funds was, again, very stable at 8 basis points and remains a tremendous competitive advantage for us. And lastly, one of the things that we continue to make progress on is our credit quality continues to be very solid, with NPAs remaining virtually flat quarter to quarter. What I'd like to do now is turn the call over to Chip Reeves, our President and Chief Operating Officer. Chip?
Hey, thanks, Jerry. 2016 was an outstanding year for Cascade, and I'm very pleased with the results that our team of bankers delivered for the fourth quarter and the full year. Our team continues to take share from our larger peers, clearly demonstrating the Cascade value proposition. Giving you a little bit more color here, in our lending operations, our bankers delivered organic originations across all platforms, totaling $180 million for the fourth quarter, resulting in that 14% annualized growth. Strength continued to be seen in C&I, CRE, single-family residential loans, and our construction platforms, all of which was very consistent with the third quarter results. Importantly, growth remained balanced across products and geographies. Turning to a few of our key markets, I'd like to speak to Idaho first. Since the hiring of our new region president, that region has delivered 21% annualized loan growth over their nine-month tenure. Q4 results were similar, as they've quickly become well-entrenched in the market. Likewise, in our Portland market, we continue to add bankers to that commercial banking center, given the growth potential in that market. In Q4, Portland delivered 5% linked-quarter loan growth, and for the year achieved a growth rate of 25%. Reaching their target of $300 million in total loan outstandings at year-end. Turning to Seattle, our merger integration with Prime Pacific has gone well. We completed the customer system conversion in the fourth quarter, and we remain optimistic on the potential for this market as we look to deliver the synergies between our downtown Seattle Commercial and Banking Center and expand our SBA lending capabilities, fueled by the Prime Pacific acquisition. SBA originations were solid in the fourth quarter, and the pipeline there is very robust as we look into 2017. Lastly, non-interest income increased 4.3% from the linked quarter to $8.3 million and remained at 25% of total revenue, which again is in the top quartile of our peer group. As mentioned, we continue to show strength in our SBA business, and then as expected, mortgage banking improved significantly compared to the linked quarter, and frankly for a fourth quarter in the seasonality in that industry, at record originations and gain on sale. To conclude, I'm very pleased with our 2016 results and progress. We solidified our presence in key markets, expanded our banking teams and product set, all of which will help position Cascade to deliver sustained growth as we begin the integration process with First Interstate. Importantly, our commercial banking, deposit, and mortgage pipelines are all at robust levels, and we continue to expect to achieve high single to low double-digit loan growth through the first half of 2017. Now I'd like to turn the call over to our CFO, Greg Newton. Greg?
Thank you, and good afternoon. Terry and Chip really have covered the highlights of our financial performance during the quarter, so I'm really going to focus my comments on just a couple of items and would, of course, refer you to the earnings release that was issued earlier this afternoon for more detail. First, Cascade's fourth quarter net interest margin improved to 3.55%, up from 3.43% in the prior quarter. This was largely due to our improved and higher loan growth that improved our earning asset mix. And of course, Cascade remains funded by a very low-cost core deposit base that's in the top tier of banks in the country. We anticipate the first quarter 2017 NIM to further benefit because of the recent Fed funds rate rise in December. We have mentioned before that we estimate Cascade's net interest income could benefit to the tune of about $2 million per year for each 25 basis point increase. Therefore, we would anticipate the NIM should be in the 3.60 or a little bit north for the first quarter. Next, a comment on non-interest expense. Both prior and current quarters included considerable M&A-related activities. the prior quarter around our acquisition of Pine Pacific, and the current quarter, the fourth quarter, had some merger-related costs related to the First Interstate pending deal. That said, net interest income expense on between the quarters decreased about 8.2% to $23.2 million. So we're pleased that that is about the, continues to be our expectation for our non-interest expense run rate going into 2017. That 23 plus estimate does exclude merger-related expenses. Shall we, in achieving that, Cascade's efficiency ratio should remain in the mid to upper 60% range. Another item to point out is Cascade's effective tax rate. It was about 42% in the fourth quarter. This was largely due to non-deductible M&A expense items. We would estimate our 2017 tax rate, absent any corporate tax legislation from the new administration, would be in the vicinity of 37.9%. Lastly, Cascade's credit quality metrics continue to remain solid and stable. We also had a nice reduction in our substandard or classified balances with a payoff of a SNC that was in the mining and energy sector. We continue to experience net recoveries for both the quarter and our year-to-date. The reserve to loan loss ratio was 1.20% at period end, down about 3 basis points from the prior quarter. With that, I turn it back to Terry.
Thanks, Greg. Well, you can see why I'm pleased with the success we've achieved. We have, I think, been successful in growing Cascade into a premier Pacific Northwest bank with region-leading growth. One of the areas that I continue to get excited about is that we have double-digit revenue growth and double-digit loan growth, both of which seem to indicate that that our customers have been very loyal to us and continue to be. I don't want to leave you thinking that we don't have more wood to chop, because we do. We actually are going to continue to focus on our customers and our employees as we go into this next phase of life for Bank of the Cascade. And I think that we continue to see progress being made on all fronts. First quarter looks like it's going to come in very solid. And so with that, what I'd like to do is thank you for your time today. And, operator, could you open the call up for any questions?
Absolutely. At this time, we will be conducting a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from Jeff Rulis of D.A. Davidson.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Jeff. How you doing?
Okay. Question on the just loan growth and origination. You touched on kind of the Idaho and Portland markets, but I assume those were the regions of strongest production in Q4?
Yeah, so Jeff, this is Chip. I'd say from an origination standpoint, Portland, Idaho, and then also Seattle from an origination were all extremely strong. From a net standpoint, we had one large payoff in the Seattle market that left the total loan balances essentially flat there, but originations were strong across the board.
Got it. And then the intention on the SNC and purchase loan portfolios going forward, do you tend to run those down into 17? Any thought on those balances?
Right now, I think what we're going to do, Jeff, is hold the hold them pretty much where they are. We are in the process right now of looking at one ARM package that we may end up doing something with. We don't know at this time, but essentially, I think you'd be safe to say that we're gonna hold that pretty flat for the remainder of first and second quarter.
Gotcha. And then maybe Terry, one last one, just employee morale. Given the news, what's your sense of the staff?
I think, you know, that what we're feeling, Jeff, is that the while there's always anxious moments anytime that there's a transaction announced, for the most part, because of the lack of overlap on the branch side and on the production side, we're finding that people are feeling pretty comfortable with that. I would say that morale has been holding up pretty well, but I don't want to dismiss the fact that there's always a degree of angst that comes up anytime a deal is announced, and sometimes it's on both sides of the transaction. So, but we haven't seen anything that would cause us, you know, a great deal of concern right now.
And Jeff, this is Jeff. I'll just comment on the production side. I think the best way for us to look at it and to gauge it is truly through, you know, the results of the fourth quarter, and you saw loan growth again at 14-15%, and the pipelines as we enter 2017, both in mortgage and the lending arenas, are really strong, and so our production teams are energized and focused.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Jackie Bolin of KBW.
Hi, good afternoon, guys.
Hey, guys.
Just looking at the decline in securities of on an end-of-period basis, is that just a normal runoff that's getting deployed into loans as you have some more profitable liquidity opportunities?
Exactly right. And as you know, that was the plan from the beginning, especially with the B of A deposits came on. So it's playing out, you know, in a fashion much like we expected.
Okay. And when I look at the quarter-over-quarter fluctuation in the yields on the securities portfolio, was that more deployment-driven, or did premium amortization fluctuations have a role in that?
You are exactly right, as the latter. So we did have a lot of that portfolio is mortgage collateral, and so with the increase in prepays, we could have some premium amortization.
Do you have the either in basis points impact, either the yield or the NIM, or just the dollar amount, what the quarter-on-quarter fluctuation was in the premium am?
Yeah, it's in securities. It was in the $300,000 to $400,000. Actually, that would be overall, because I'm counting the ARM portfolio too. So as that slows down, we should have a nice little lift that is a little early to count on, but we should have a little lift in the NIM from that as prepaid slow.
Okay. So that goes into the 3.6%+ NIM guidance, is that as well?
Right. That would be the part where I said, or maybe a little bit north of there.
Okay. Clear enough. And then just a clarification number. I missed a little bit in your prepared remarks. You said that a run rate for expenses would be $23 million going forward. Did I hear that right? Okay.
That's correct.
And were there just a couple of true up items, excluding the merger costs in 4Q16 that won't repeat next quarter? I know you had the you mentioned the bonus accrual, and then it had the merger charges. But even if I strip out the merger charges, it looks like expenses were only about $22 million. So are there, I guess, where is the lift coming from off of that?
Yeah, so we had some reversals of in our HR area where we got some, had overpaid some better, some payroll related tax. We had some accruals that we reversed that were somewhat related to the again, estimating costs of both B of A and Prime Pacific that became clear. So that would explain the difference.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks, Greg. I appreciate it.
Jackie, just while I have you, I probably should note, just in thinking about next quarter, also you'll see our cost of funds go up about from, again, it's about eight basis points now. It'll probably go up to in the 10 basis point range, related to some, the end of some of the fair value marks on the B of A deposits. So if you're thinking about that NIM, you'll see the cost of funds go up, but that 360 number includes that.
Okay, so fair value mark related, not related to any change in deposit costs after the lift in Fed funds?
Precisely right.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. And that was all I had. Thank you.
Thanks, Jackie.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If there are no further questions, I'd like to turn the call back over to Mr. Terry Zink for closing remarks.
Well, I just once again want to thank you for joining the call. I'm sure you can see why we're excited about the progression that we've made. We continue to grow the franchise, and our expectations are that first quarter is going to be a solid quarter for us as we continue to look for the substantial loan growth out of our key markets and revenue growth that outpaces the industry. So thank you for that, and we look forward to getting together on our next call. Thanks, Darren.
This concludes today's conference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.